Yeah, Kof Gimel Amud Aleph, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14 lines up from the bottom. Tana Rabban. Okay? Tana Rabban. Here we'll kind of sum up what we've been seeing before. Tana Rabban. Barishona, as we pointed out last time, we begin with the premise that you should not be going into the bathroom with tefillin. Right? We start with that premise. Just we've been seeing that there was a special heter made because people didn't have much of a choice. So here the Braisa sums it up. Barishana hayumenichim tefillin mecherin asmuchim lebeis hakise. Originally, what they used to do is they would leave the tefillin in the holes outside the bathroom. And what was the bathroom again? As we discussed, the bathroom was a field, right? So what's the bathroom wall? It meant the fence around the field. So they would put it in cracks in the fence facing the outside. It shouldn't be on the side of the bathroom. Initially they would put it on the inside, not facing the street, but facing the inside of the field where he was. But once it was in the field, mice would come and take it. So they said, you know what, don't put it on the inside of the fence, put it towards the outside of the fence, facing the street. But then passers-by would come and take it. So itkinu, they made a special takana, she'oichzan beyodoy v'nichnas. That, you hold it in your hand and you go into the bathroom. This, as we saw, is a very surprising halacha, that yes, you actually take the tefillin with you in your hand into the bathroom when you defecate. Oh, so we saw earlier that what actually happened, we saw an earlier Gemara, was that a Zaina came by for whatever reason. She wanted to frame a yeshiva bacher. She came, she took his tefillin when he went to the bathroom, and then she came to the base medrash and she showed, look, this is what he gave me as my reward. Apparently it was common enough. I don't know. Yeah. So so they made a special takana that yes, you hold it in your hand and you go in. Now how does that work? So you want to minimize the exposure. Amar Rabbi Miyasha, Braid Rabbi Shua ben Levi, halacha, the halacha is, goylilon kemin sefer, you wrap it up, as you would with a sefer, meaning wrap it up the way we wrap up our tefillin, va'ichzon biminoi keneged libay. You hold it in your right hand against your heart, meaning you hold it high up. The point is that you don't want to accidentally come to wipe with that hand or whatever it is. You keep that hand away from what's going on. That's why we stress the right hand, right? Because the wiping is supposed to do with your left hand davka. That's the halacha. You're supposed to wipe with your left hand. Again, we said almost paradoxical reason. The reason you wipe with your left hand is because the right hand is the tefillin hand. What does that mean? You put your tefillin on with your right hand, and therefore that's considered more kaddish as far as tefillin goes, and therefore you wipe with the left hand, even though the left hand is the one that has the tefillin on it. But you do the mitzvah with your right hand, so don't wipe with your right hand. But here they stress specifically, this is the hand that puts tefillin on.
But isn't that why we put tefillin on our left hand? Because our right hand is a stronger hand, and it's the maisa putting. I thought that was the
shot. Is that the reason, or is it because it's keneged aleiv?
It could be keneged aleiv either way. You can put the throne here, keneged aleiv. Oh, it's aleiv, right?
So, I don't know, possibly.
The left, he puts it on the reverse.
That's right. Well, that also, the pasuk says yad keya. Yad cha is spelled yud dalid kaf hei, which is in yad keya. You put it on the weak hand. That maybe it's because of that? Maybe. I don't know.
So, does it mean this
kshira,
or does it mean the
kshira is
the
floor? No. That means the mitzvah is the kshira of the... Yeah.
That's the kshira. Yeah. Then you do with the right hand.
Right. That's right. Well, v'hayu l'tayt afayz b'ayn, I don't know. But yeah. So now, okay. No, he reverses it. Yeah. The hand that's putting on the tefillin should not be used for wiping. The hand that has the tefillin on is used for wiping. And we saw more than that, right? When you wipe with your left hand, you should wipe dafka not with your middle finger, which people might naturally do since it's the strongest finger. Dafka not with your middle finger, because that's where you wrap the you wrap the three krichas of the tefillin on.
On the other hand, if a person wants to have a goof nucky, it's going to be more effective with a stronger hand.
Yes. However, the truth is that this is something it's stam kedai to know. That it's recommended when going to the bathroom, when wiping, to actually use water. When you're using water, then you can get it clean enough. But the truth is, if you use the fourth finger, you can apply enough strength anyways, you just have to get used to it. But it's stam, it's recommended to actually use water in the bathroom. In fact, in some shuls, you know, there are some Sfadi shuls that are makbid on this, they actually have a little hose in the bathroom. It's much more effective. But yeah, well, we're going to get mamish into all these details, Bezus Hashem. But it's a serious business, as we said.
And did they wipe that? Should they wipe with their hand mamish, or they always use something?
No, they use the stone. They use the stone, yeah. So, huh? They sometimes use right. Yeah. Okay. Now, Omar Rav Yosef bar Minyan, Omar Rav Nachman, ubilvad shelo tehei letzui yotzes mitachas yodei tefach. When you do have your tefillin in your hand in the bathroom, make sure that you don't have a piece of ritzua hanging down. That's a tefach. Now this is very important, because even though, again, we don't generally go with tefillin into the bathroom, we have other ways of dealing with it, but this is important. What's the Gemara saying? The Gemara is saying that the ritzua of the tefillin also has kedushas tefillin. And the implication of this is something that people are not properly aware of and properly careful about, is that the ritzus of tefillin should not be on the floor. You often see people nonchalantly, when you take the tefillin off the thing and just kind of drop the ritzus on the floor, when you're wrapping up the tefillin, see it all over the place. People somehow, in the place can say people are more makbid, people get all nervous about tzitzis being on the floor, which is mutter, right? It's just not allowed to drag on the floor. But if you're sitting down, you have your talus with your tzitzis draped on the floor, that's fine. But when it comes to, but people get nervous about that. But when it comes to the strap of your tefillin, it's mamish aser. We might say it's somewhat questionable, but the pashtus, it's aser, and people are not careful enough about that. So it's important to note this and to realize it. And if you have it in you, you can point it out to three people a day at Shachris. So now, right. Now, Omar Rabbi Yaakov Baracha, Omar Rabbi Zer. Rabbi Yaakov Baracha says in the name of Rabbi Zer, let's remember that this whole business of bringing it into the bathroom is a special heter because you have no choice. So therefore, Loishano Alashiyeshuhus B'yayim Lulavshan. We only allow you to bring your tefillin straight into the bathroom like that if you really need to. Meaning, you're still going to be putting it on again after you come out of the bathroom, so we're not going to make you put it away properly and go to the bathroom. So if you still have time later to put it back on, fine, carry it into the bathroom. Avol ein shuhus b'yayim l'lovshon. But if it's already the end of the day, you're taking them off, and you're not going to be putting them back on afterwards, now, why take it into the bathroom? Why employ this heter? Oyse lehen kemin kis tefach. You make them. You should designate a pouch that has a tefach of space in it. And you put it in there. Once you're taking it off at the end of the day, put it in the pouch that has a tefach. What's the idea of having a tefach? What's that? What's the idea of tefach? We'll see momentarily. Meaning, now if you need to bring it into the bathroom, put it away in the pouch. Once you put it away in the pouch, then you could already bring it into the bathroom. This also, we're going to be getting to very practical implications for us. So what we seem to be saying is that now already you can't just take it in stamazoi. You have to put it in the pouch, then you could take it in. And then, it's provided that the pouch has a space of a tefach. Now, Omar Rabbe Bar Bar Chana, Omar Rabbi Yechanan, he also says the same thing. Beyoin, if you're going in the day, and you will yet be putting it on afterwards, Goylulam Kemin Sefer, you don't have to put it away. Just wrap it up like a sefer, right? Wrap it up the way we wrap it up. Umeinicham biyodoi keneged liboy. What's that? I think it just means the way you would wrap a sefer, meaning just like this. All sfarim in those days were biglila. Not necessarily both sides. A lot of sfarim, right? Other than sefer Torah, Megillah, for example, is just one side. Sefer means parchment, rolled up. And you hold it in your hand against your heart like we described it earlier. But at night, You put them into a pouch that has a space of a tefach. You put it in there, then you can carry it into the bathroom. So what's the idea of tefach? The idea of tefach is then it creates its own little. When you carry, what does it help to carry it into the bathroom? Well, when meanwhile we're not saying a double covering. We'll have to see if a double covering is required. But meanwhile we're saying that if you put it in a bag that's a tefach, you can carry it into the bathroom. Why a tefach? Because a tefach constitutes its own area, as we're going to see soon. It's the minimal rishus. It's its own little area, and therefore it's considered not in the bathroom. It's somewhere else. It's in the bag.
It's on the dress.
It's on the dress, right. And that requires a tefach. So meanwhile, what we're saying is that yes, you can carry tefillin in a shopping bag into the bathroom. A small shopping bag. Let's see. Now, Omar Abaye says, Loishono el beklisho kelyam. When do we require a tefach in order to establish it as its own little area? Only if it's its designated kli. Because a kli that's designated for the tefillin, the pouch that you designated for the tefillin, is easily butel to the tefillin, meaning it doesn't really count. It's kind of an extension of the tefillin. And therefore, in order for it to constitute its own area, in order for it to be called that you're not taking the tefillin into the bathroom, it has to be significant. It has to be like its own little rishus. Aval b'kli she'enoy kelyan, if it's a pouch, a bag, whatever it is that is not designated for this tefillin, afilu pachas mitefach. Even if it's less than a tefach, that's fine. That also can constitute its own little area. It's not called in the airspace of the bathroom. Omar Mar Zutra v'itema Rav Ashi. He proves this. Teida. You see, this is so. Shai pachim ktanim matzilim bo'el ames. If you have. This is the din of pachim tan. If you have an oil ames, a room where there's a dead body, anything in the room becomes tame. Yet, if you have a little jar that's sealed, anything inside it is tar. It's in a separate airspace. And that is even if it's less than a tefach. So you see that it doesn't take a tefach to establish itself as a separate airspace. So therefore, no. If you just take a regular shopping bag, even if it's smaller than a tefach, it's a separate airspace and you can take the tefillin into the bathroom. If it's designated as the tefillin's pouch, then it's more batel to the tefillin, and therefore it requires something more, a more significant space in order to turn it into its own airspace. It has to be a tefach. Now, so let's note, according to what we're saying here, meanwhile, we seem to be saying that yes, tefillin in a tefillin bag can be taken into the bathroom. Is that so? So lemaisa, the approach that the place can take is that no. Even this is a special heter. Because even though we're talking about a person who's already taking it off for the night, we're still talking about a person who's away from home. So even he needs a little more leniency. We don't allow him to mamish just carry it into his hand because you're not putting it on anymore. You don't need such leniency. Get a bag. Right? But he's not at home. If a person is actually at home and has where to put the tefillin away safely, he should not take it in a bag either. Unless it's double wrapped. So here we come to the famous halacha of double wrapped. See, this whole time we were working backwards. This whole sugi was talking about special kulas without actually clarifying what the ikara din is. Really, the din is that if you have somewhere safe to keep tefillin, don't take it into the bathroom, even in a regular bag. Unless it's double wrapped. But if you don't have anywhere safe to keep it, then, and you're not going to be putting it on anymore later, put it into one bag. So that's halacha lemaisa. Halacha lemaisa is that, yes, it has to be double wrapped. So if so, does this mean double wrapped? Can I carry, almost everybody has tefillin, forget the talis, you have it in a pouch, and inside it's got in a plastic bag. Is that good enough? So the plastic bag is also designated as a regular pouch of the tefillin. Therefore, the din is that anything that's designated for the tefillin, even if it's in 100 bags, if they're all designated for the tefillin, it all counts as one. That's right. The tefillin cover is also a cover, right? But that's designated, and the pouch, the velvet pouch, is designated, and the plastic pouch is designated. All that just counts as one.
Count as one cover or no covers?
One cover. That counts as one cover. You need one more cover. So now the question is, what happens if it's in the talis bag? So here's already questionable. Is the talis bag called a designated bag for the tefillin bag? And this is not so clear. meaning it's questionable among the poskim. Oh, so on the one hand, you do it kavua every day, and therefore there's room to say, and poskim do say, that the talis bag is also considered designated. You'd have to put it inside a shopping bag, right? You have to put the talis bag inside a shopping bag. What's that? It shouldn't be kavua. Well, there has to be. Carry on is for sure okay. Yes.
Measures in the certain area in terms of the one current value is up in the airport.
Right. So in the airport, yeah, you can take it with your carry on into the bathroom without a question.
I'm taking without carry on.
And right. Because again, if you don't have somewhere safe to keep it, you can just take it. And a person who's traveling just with a tefillin bag in his hand can take it into the bathroom. But you're asking, would you have to switch the shopping bag every day? So here the answer is, as long as you didn't consciously designate it, it's not called designated. As long as you didn't officially designate it for the tefillin. Even if it happens to be. Yeah. You want to switch a deal with this old bag for a best market bag, Nishkefela. Yeah. Yeah. In general, it's not considered more lekula. We'll see, perhaps there are certain factors to figure in. In general, it's not considered more lekula, since at the end of the day, the toilet is designated as a graf shel rei. We'll see soon. Therefore, the toilet itself is perhaps considered soya, which turns the bathroom itself into a bathroom with soya in it. But we'll see. Now, there is room to argue that our bathrooms are better. We'll see. Well, I'm going to leave that for later. We're mamish going to get mamish to the sugi of that. Okay. Fine. So that's as far as that goes. The tefillin should not be brought into the bathroom unless, again, they are in a double wrapping. That's what we were up to. What's the tzad to say that perhaps the talis bag does count as a second kli, even though it's designated? And the answer is that really it's not designated for the tefillin. You put the tefillin in there in convenience because you want it with the talis. But it's really designated for the talus, it's not designated for the tefillin. What's more, that you can also factor in that the talus itself is covering the tefillin. So, it's questionable. It's questionable whether the tefillin in the talus bag is considered double wrapped or not, but yes, it's better to put it in another shopping bag if you need to bring it into the bathroom. Obviously, if there's no need, if you could just keep it outside on the shelf, do that. Yeah, no, so you don't put the phone on top because you have to hit the talus first. Yeah. When you're.
I rely on the Friday night to look at the recognition. If it's all closer to you.
That's a good point.
I always put that together.
A good point.
The
talus is
like
further out.
I thought
I hear. It's a good far. A good far. I didn't think of that. But otherwise, you're asking what's the heter to have it? Right. That is how I keep it. According to my understanding, it's okay to keep the talus on top of the tefillin since you're doing it l'chavoy the tefillin. Keep that in mind. You're doing it l'chavoy the tefillin. It's because the tefillin are more kaddish and you want to avoid the issue of malim of mavir and al mitzvahs. Yeah. Okay. We'll move on. Now I just want to point out something else. The whole time we're explaining here, the reason you have to put it into a pouch is because if you want to take your tefillin into the bathroom, they have to be in a pouch. Rashi says something else. Rashi says, no, you're not bringing it into the bathroom. It's the end of the day and you're at home. And you're not bringing it into the bathroom. Why do you have to put it into a pouch? And this is also something that's very relevant, also a surprising halacha that many people don't know. Why do you have to put it into the pouch? What's that? No, he says even without that. Where are you going to leave it? On the floor. You want to leave tefillin on the floor, you have to put it in a pouch.
Now,
what does this mean? That's what comes out. Yes. Surprising. I was also surprised. But yeah, that's what comes out. Tefillin in a bag is allowed to be on the floor. Sefer in a bag is allowed to be on the floor.
Wow.
No.
Even
with a
designated bag?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it has to be a tefach, right? I was saying, if it's a designated bag, it has to be a tefach. Now, it's of note that there seems to be something of a steer in the Mishnah Berurah on this matter. Mishnah Berurah does say a couple of places in these halachas that it's not so bad if tefillin in the bag fall on the floor, it's okay, this, that. But elsewhere, he cites the Eliyahu Rabbah who says, we know that the din is that if tefillin fall on the floor, the owner is supposed to fast or give some tzedakah. So the Mishnah Berurah cites the Eliyahu Rabbah who says that even if it falls in the bag. Right? How do we put that together?
Here we seem to be saying very in a very nonchalant way, that once it's in the bag, you can just put it on the floor. So what I saw suggested is that falling is more of a bizoyan than putting it on the floor. But whatever it is, it does come out clearly from these halachas, and some ma'aseh bir halacha and some mem gimel, that yes, once tefillin are in a bag that has a tefach of space, you're allowed to put it on the floor, and the same applies for sfarim, etc. Okay. Now, we'll move on. Omar Rabbi Bar Bar Chana.
And you just don't even make an effort to put it on top of something? Or is it even, there's no total hafmer, there's no...
So I don't know. I don't know. It sounds a little hard to swallow that it's as simple as that. I looked to see, perhaps yesh lahachmir b'shasat, you know, but I don't know. I did see bought down. I don't know what the basis for this is. Someone bought that Reb Nissim Karel had said that better to have it in a bag that's 4x4 tefachim. Don't know. I can quote and I leave it to everybody's.
Well, most houses probably meet that criteria.
4x4 tefachim have to be a bigish talis bag. 4x4 tefachim, maybe just about. What's that? So that's the sugya here. Rashi says that the purpose of the kis of putting tefillin in a pouch is in order to be able to put it on the floor, and the Bi'ur Halacha cites that in Siman Mem Gimel. Okay. Now, Omar Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, ki avazlinum basle de Rabbi Yochanan. When we were walking along with Rabbi Yochanan, when he had to go to the bathroom, listen to this, paradoxical. If he was holding a sefer of Agadita, a sefer with Agadita's in it, which is the what we might call the least legitimate of Sifrei Kodesh in those days, and it was barely Torah Shebit Baal Peh written. Have a Yoyimon. He would give it to us. He didn't want to bring his Sefer Agadta into the bathroom. Right? He have a Nokit tefillin, but when he had tefillin with him, lo have a Yoyimon. He didn't give it to us. He took it into the bathroom. Sefer Agadta he would give it to us to hold. The tefillin he took in. Why? Omar, he said, Hoyil v'shorunu rabbonon. The Chachamim permitted us to take it in. Right? There's a special heter issued for tefillin since you're with it all day. They didn't issue this heter for Sfarim. So since the Chachamim issued this heter, Ninteron, I dafka want to take it into the bathroom so it'll protect me. No, they only permitted tefillin because the person is wearing tefillin all day.
We're not wearing tefillin all day.
What's that?
We're not wearing tefillin
all day. So, an Achanami, that we've already seen that the din is that if you're at home, etc., if you have where to put it safely, you shouldn't. Should a person be on the road with tefillin on today also, this heter would apply. Just usually you're not going to be on the road with tefillin on. Right? But whatever it is, Rabbi Yochanan is saying, so Chazal issued a special heter for tefillin, not for sfarim. There's no reason to issue it for sfarim. And therefore, I dafka want to take, once I'm allowed to, I'm not going to take it into the bathroom, so it'll protect me in the bathroom. That is based on the famous concept that the bathroom is considered a dangerous place. Shaving. Frequented bedrooms, shaded frequented batiki sois. In fact, there's a special tefillah, right, that they used to say in earlier times upon going into the bathroom. That's a special tefillah, that davening for protection in the bathroom. The person generally is escorted by malachim. Right? We're going to see it later in the Gemara. The person would say a special tefillah, these malachim are malachim kadoshim that don't come into the bathroom with him. So he would say, but keep an eye out for me, you know, when I'm going in, that I should go in okay and come out okay. Right, but we don't say this tefillah today because the place can say that for us to say this tefillah is gaiv, as if we think that we are zeichet to those malachim. So we don't say this tefillah today. But they did in those days. They said it, and there was a need for protection. Therefore, he said, "I'll take any protection I can get. If I'm allowed to bring the tefillah into the bathroom, I'll bring them in."
What is someone learning all day?
What's that?
What is someone learning all day? So why would not be the same as wearing tefillin all day for protection? He's wearing all day for protection. They dug him out, learned all day. You know,
why can't you take a sefer in?
Because that was my heter for this. Because I'll give a heter for.
Right, you're asking why isn't there a heter?
Right.
No, because I only made a heter. Tefillin was worn all day by everybody. Right, this was something everybody needed. It was gotten all of clients. So people worked with their tefillin on. Right, so it was a real necessity. Tefillin was part of your clothing. So it was a real necessity. Now, others say that the pshat is not ninturan, not that they should protect me, but ninturan, I want to protect it. Meaning there's a special maila in keeping on, as on top of your tefillin as you can. And he said, if I'm allowed to bring it into the bathroom, I would want to bring it in just so I myself can personally take care of them. Okay. Similarly, Omar Rabbi, ki avazlinum basrei de Rav Nachman, when I was going after Rav Nachman, serving him, Rav was his Talmud, ki avinokit sifra de agadta, when he had a sefer agada with him, same thing, yoivon, he would give it to us when he went into the bathroom. Ki avinokit tefillin, when he had tefillin with him, lo yoivon, he wouldn't give it to us, he would take it in with him. Omar, he said, hoyil v'shavun rabbanon, since the Chachamim allowed me to take it in, ninturan. I'm going to take it in so it should protect me, so I should protect it, whatever it is. See, here also, we just have to point out that the Gemara is clearly saying that also other Sfarim you're not allowed to take into the bathroom. This is important to note, because this also applies to basically all Sfarim printed, etc. You're not allowed to take them into the bathroom. It's questionable whether they require a double wrapping or just a single wrapping. So it's obviously better to be machmir and have a double wrapping. You can, by the way, consider your pocket a second wrapping. You have a siddur in a bag, you can consider your pocket a second wrapping. In fact, even more than that, it's possible that you can consider this cover a wrapping too. So,
a
wallet is definitely a covering. Yeah, it's definitely a covering, and if it's in your pocket, that's not a double covering.
So even if it's not totally closed.
Even if it's not totally closed, that's explicit in the place. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I heard somebody ask Abraham Kanievsky if you can consider the lining of your pants with your pants a double wrapping. If you have a very tear inside your pants pocket. So again, if it's the cover of the sefer, there's room to be makel. Well, let's say it's not. Let's say you just have a folded up paper with divrei Torah in your pants. Can you consider the lining plus the pants a double wrapping? Abraham Kanievsky said, "Yacholi o chicken." Maybe it is, which I take to mean probably okay. No, because the whole paper is kaddish.
Even the backside?
You're not allowed to write other things on the paper. Once it becomes deadly, but the paper itself is kaddish. It wouldn't count as a covering. It's questionable whether a page, another page of a book, right, let's say you have a newspaper in the bedroom, right? Which is really the most appropriate place for a newspaper, if it's got to be anyway. But let's have a newspaper in the bathroom. It's questionable whether even another page covering it can be considered a cover. Right? It's a shy look.
You know, what if a magazine that has a few pages of Divrei Torah in it, but the rest of the pages are not Divrei Torah? So the other pages count as covering.
Right, so generally the mahalach is, this was bought in Sefer Ginzei HaKodesh from different modern day poskim, that no, if a person knows for a fact that there's Divrei Torah in a magazine or a newspaper or whatever it is, you should not consider the other pages as covering it. If you do, if you're reading something in the bathroom and you discover that it has to cover it with the other pages. But otherwise, no, if you know that something has in it, so he writes something interesting in Ginzei HaKodesh. You know, Ginzei HaKodesh, the modern day sefer, very, very good sefer, you put together. I don't know if the only place I've seen where there's a whole, all brought together, all the halakhas of Sheamus and Kedusha, Teshmishi Kedusha, etc. So he brings there that he basically says that the poskim say if you want to bring a newspaper into the bathroom, a magazine into the bathroom, if it has a regular column of Divrei Torah, if you know that there's Divrei Torah, don't bring it in. But if you know that it has Divrei Torah, don't bring it in. If you don't know that it has Divrei Torah, if it has a regular column of Divrei Torah, don't bring it in. If it does not have a regular column, you can. So, the author of this sefer, Bechazkel Feinhandler, he said that he was speaking to Rav Yoshev about this. He asked Rav Yoshev, what do you mean? Let's say you have a frum newspaper that doesn't have a regular column. But you know, inevitably there's going to be something in there. But no. If you don't know that it has a column, then you can bring it into the bedroom. You know it's for sure going to be this. Rav Yoshev said, would you swear on it?
Right, so Chadash newspaper has a weekly thing or a little so right. We know it's there and right. Therefore that would be
wrong. Right. Well, you take off that front page.
Your English reader.
Right. But well, the truth is
you
may not know, right. But yeah, that's basically the idea. If a paper is not known to have the reclusion, that you can take it into the bathroom. Used to be in earlier times that it was very much discouraged to have Divrei Torah in a newspaper because of these reasons. Okay, you know, it became widespread, and therefore people know to expect it. But whatever it is, that's generally the rule. Right. So that's people are. The truth is that it would be better if Divrei Torah would not be distributed in this way. The limud schus is how can you distribute papers and things like that, you know, mamish in the streets, when the limud schus is that something that's been printed, there's two limud schus. First of all, something that's never been read has less kedusha. Whether that's actually grounds for complete leniency is not clear. But not each copy.
No shame.
What's that?
There's no shame of shame.
That doesn't help. Because Divrei Torah is Divrei Torah. Shamus have more stringent halachas for other purposes, but not for this. Divrei Torah is Divrei Torah. So again, it doesn't allow for absolute leniency. It allows for certain kulas. Meaning, for example, it certainly has kedusha, right? But the question is how much. Okay, like for example, generally, if you want to put a sefer on the floor, it should be raised a tefach above the floor, right? This is something like you can't just put a sheet of paper on the floor and put svarim on top of it.
But if it's a brand, paper's not enough. The carbon's
right,
not enough.
Right. But if it's a brand new sefer that was never learned, then you can't. Anything on the floor is good enough.
Bookstores, for example, would be able to.
Exactly. The bookstores that have a whole bunch of svarim wrapped in a plastic can put it straight on the floor in the plastic. If someone read it.
Does the cover of the book help?
No. The cover of the book is considered part of it for these purposes, yeah.
So then for the cover of the newspaper wouldn't help either.
Right.
And if those that come like they're chasing in the back of the car,
when it comes in, so first of all, the carton itself is already like a kis. Right? It's in a box. Once it's in a box, it's already in its own different rishus, yeah.
What about a car, the floor of a car, you know, mat?
The gather of a floor for these purposes is when it's not supposed to put sfarim on the floor is anywhere where people step.
Someone carpeting.
What's that? Right. You shouldn't put the sefer down on carpeting.
This had to wouldn't apply to carpeting.
Right. You shouldn't put a sefer down on carpeting. You shouldn't put a sefer down on steps, even though
no,
steps.
No, it's never read before. Oh, it's never read before.
Oh, if it's never read, you can put it down. You don't need a tefach, but it has to be on something. Put it on a piece of paper. Put it on a piece of plastic.
And therefore, then the carpeting would help.
No. To put it straight on a mat that people step on will never help. Right? But that's just.
What if it's less likely to fall? You're transporting a spark.
Yeah.
Option one is in the trunk and they're going to fly back and forth. No one steps there. You know, option two is the sea where also it might fall. And then option three is the floor, which is more secure. So is it more comfortable to put it on the seat where it can fall, or more comfortable on the floor where it's more secure?
You have to figure out a secure way to put it in the back, because the din is you can't put svarim on the floor, right? Which means anywhere that people step. That's why, for example, by the way, you should note this, that a step ladder, for example, because you might not think of that. You might put a sefer on a step of a step ladder because it's high, but no, it's a place where people step. That's called the floor for these purposes. Anywhere where people step is called the floor. You can put svarim on a chair. People don't step there.
But people sit on chairs. That's not a problem.
That's fine. Yeah, you can put svarim on a chair.
They do step on chairs.
What's that? Right, but it's not designated for that. That's not its use. Right. But that's not its use.
Maybe a kid's room would be different.
What's that?
Maybe a kid's room.
Right. What time is that? I'm sorry. Oh, we have a coffee. All right. Okay, we still have time. Okay. Tanu Rabba. So we'll move on. Tana Rabbanan. It says in the Braisa, Kom Gimel Amud Beis, the fourth line. Lo Yoichaz, now we're getting into some new halachas, kind of connected. Lo Yoichaz Adam Tefillin B'Yodei, V'Sefer Torah B'Zroi. Do not hold Tefillin in your hand, or a sefer Torah in your arm, v'yispala, and daven. What's this halacha? This halacha is that don't hold in your hand something that you're going to be nervous about dropping while you're davening. It's going to distract you from davening. So therefore, don't hold tefillin or a sefer Torah in your hand. You're asking a tough question. What's that? You're asking a tough question. You're saying what people, it's very common. You see people start taking off their tefillin while you're still davening. You know what? I don't know what the answer to that is. What's that? I have to check that up because this does not just, the Poskim say explicitly that this is not limited to Shemoneh Esrei. It applies also to Pesukei Dezimra. The Poskim say even Pesukei Dezimra, even when you say Pesukei, they give a heter for Birkas HaChodesh. How can the Chazan hold a Sefer Torah while he's saying Birkas HaChodesh? Because that's part of the tefillah. What's that? Right. So you say when the Sefer Torah is part of the process, it's different. But like we say, a special Mishaberach or something like that. But the boys can explicitly say that these halachas apply also for Pesukei Dezimra, other brachas, etc. So I don't know. This is a tough question to check this out. What's that? So this is all because the Sefer Torah is a part of the actual process. It's a part of what's going on. That's why, for example, it says you hold a lulav while you say halal. Why? Because it's part of the mitzvah. It's a different story. But
you shouldn't grab onto your lulav early then.
What's that?
So you shouldn't grab onto your lulav early.
Well, what do you mean by early? How early are you going to do it? You're not going to do it in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei.
Sometimes people are getting their lulav ready, right? They don't want to be late, so they're busy. They're, you know, taking out the lulav, taking out the esro, the chazans.
So I don't know if this applies to chazaras hashatz. Chazaras hashatz, you're not actually davening.
You're not saying anything.
Right. I don't know. I have to check that out because that's a question with far-reaching ramifications. I don't know.
A lot of people do it.
Right. Myself included, and I have to check this out. It's a shaila.
I don't guess.
It's a shaila. Maybe it would be the same. I don't know. Maybe, but the place can even discuss it's a special hetek, the chiddush of the rishonim, that you are allowed to hold the siddur in your hand while you're davening. Right? So, chiddush, the rishonim say, siddur is mutter. Right? But and it's the Shulchan Aruch paskins that siddur is okay. Why? Because again, it's facilitating the davening.
We're not holding a sefer during davening.
That's right. Shouldn't. Now, the truth is that this is, but yeah, that's right. A person should not hold a different sefer while he's davening. Right. So now, it'll distract when a person's holding something that he's nervous to drop. It'll distract.
So that may help us a little bit. So if you said very,
what's that? Oh, so doesn't answer his question. What about taking off the filling when you're saying Aleinu? Well, the truth is, it could be that anyways, Aleinu is not good idea. But after Aleinu, Shir Shal Yom, he's saying Shir Shal Yom. Well, he says that he's followed, but the place can say clearly that it's everything. That's true. But here the place can do clearly say. The place can clearly say it applies to the Pesukei Dezimra, etc. And they give reasons for why the lulav during Hallel is okay, and why holding the Sefer Torah during Birkas HaChodesh is okay, and all these things. They give reasons why all these things are okay. So we would have to have a reason for this too. I don't know. The loyashtin. I'm a little nervous about what the research is going to come up with. We're going to have to check this out, Lineda.
Rabbonus is
going to
be co-arm a banner now. You know, look at this halacha now. You really can't
leave it down early. Right now, I wonder. The answer that I would suggest is actually going to get us into more trouble. I might think to suggest that you're not going to drop it because you're actually busy with it. But that's
you're distracted from your.
That's all the more reason not to be allowed to do it. I don't know. We have to check this out. That might have to be our conclusion. That might have to be our conclusion. Well, let's see. Right. But wait, give us a chance. We're gonna have to research this. Omar Shmuel. Shmuel says, Sorry. Veloyashtim b'emayim. Also, do not urinate while you're holding tefillin. Now, this is not because you're not gonna be able to focus on what you're doing, but kind of the opposite reason. when you are urinating and afterwards you're going to have to wipe off things that spritz, you might drop the tefillin. Now let's not get confused. Do not sleep with your tefillin. Even either a short nap or a long sleep. This doesn't mean with tefillin on. Once again, let's remember that subject here is holding tefillin in your hand. When you're holding tefillin in your hand, you're not allowed to sleep a cat nap or a proper sleep because you might fall asleep.
If someone's in the airport overnight, they don't want someone to take their tefillin, so they want to.
Also, you'd have to figure out something else. But it's also to sleep with sleep holding tefillin. So, I don't know if you have it on your lap, that might be different, first of all.
And if it's in your bag, it's double covering, then you're probably okay.
That's also true. That's right. That's the answer. If it's in, that the place can do say. Yeah, once it's in a bag, there's no question. Right. Obviously. Now, Omar Shmuel. Now, Shmuel says, Sakin. Also, when you're davening, you should not hold a knife, because again, you're worried about dropping it. On your toe. Umma'is. Money. Worried
about
dropping
it.
What's that?
What about tzedakah collectors?
Well, they shouldn't do that while they're davening.
No, they're giving them money while you're davening.
So the point is not to be holding it in your hand. If you have it in front of you on the table and just pick it up and hand it, I don't think that that's what we're talking about. But even that depends on which part of davening you're in, right? That's money. People collecting money during Pesukah D'Zimra is good. Once you're in Birkas Kriyat Shema, from Yetzer until Shmoneh Esrei. That makes sense, right? Pesukah D'Zimra, it's actually encouraged to give tzedakah during Pesukah D'Zimra, but afterwards it's a shayla. It's not a shayla. A person shouldn't be busy with other things when he's in the middle of the bracha. The ka'ara, right? Don't daven when you're holding a bowl of chalent. Don't daven with a dish. The kikar, or when you're holding a loaf of bread. Yeah, or a dish with food in it. The klal here is anything that you're nervous about dropping, you should not be holding while you're davening. All these things are the same. Do not hold these things while you're davening. Now, as we said before, siddur is an exception to the rule. You're allowed to hold the siddur because it facilitates your davening. So here's an interesting question. What happens if siddur drops while you're in the middle of davening? What should you do? So this is a very interesting halacha. Yeah. Halacha is you should daven and not pick it up. Finish davening. However, halacha takes into account that most of us will be jittery the whole time. And therefore halacha says if you're going to be unsettled, as long as the siddur is on the floor next to you, you can pick it up. But otherwise, the etzem the din is forget about the siddur and daven Shmoneh Esrei. What's that? So that's something else, because you're not allowed to be saying things with an uncovered head.
So even if they have to walk to get it, you know, blew away in the wind.
If you have to walk to get it, I don't know. Maybe you should put your sleeve over your head. I don't know. I'm not sure. Okay. So that's that halacha. But now we're going to go back to this point that we mentioned, that you should not urinate with tefillin in your hand. Now, Omar Rove, Omar Rav Sheshes, Leis Hilchisiki Homas Nisa. This Mishnah cannot be lahalacha. The Beishamai, it must be the opinion of Beishamai. If we remember, we saw earlier that Beishamai were completely against this whole heter. We said there's a heter to go into the bathroom with tefillin, right? But Beishamai disagreed. The Beis Hillel, according to Beis Hillel, Hashta Beis Hakise Kavu Asheri. They said you're allowed to go into an established bathroom with your tefillin in hand. Meaning, established bathroom really means to defecate. You're allowed to defecate with your tefillin in your hand. So if it's only a temporary bathroom, that's a way of saying urinating. Let's just get used to the terminology here. Beisakise kavua, as opposed to beisakise arai, an established bathroom as opposed to a temporary bathroom, means defecating as opposed to urinating. The reason it's termed in this way is because they usually had set places for defecating, because you don't want to do that on every corner, whereas urinating was wherever you found the spot. So if you're allowed to defecate while you're holding tefillin, you're certainly allowed to urinate. So therefore, it must be that we hold that you are allowed to urinate holding tefillin. And this price that says that you can't is Beis Shammai. So the Gemara says, Meisavei. Is that so? You're allowed to urinate when you're holding tefillin? You're right that mathematically it adds up, but is that the case? The Braisa says as follows. Dvarim she'itarti l'chokan, osarti l'chokan. When it comes to the halachas of the bathroom, there are some things that are permitted here, but are forbidden here. Cryptic Braisa. We don't know what it's talking about. But that's all it says. Don't make comparisons. There are things that are permitted here, but forbidden there. My love, doesn't this mean tefillin? That even though tefillin is permitted, when you're defecating in an established bathroom, it's prohibited when you're urinating. Why on earth that should be, we'll have to see. But that's what the Gemara is suggesting now. Say, Amris Beis Shlama Beis Hillel. So this works well if it's Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel permitted defecating while you're holding tefillin. So then, Hitati L'chokan, this price works out well. Yes, what I permitted here, meaning Kavua, in an established bedroom, when I permitted you to hold tefillin while you're defecating, Asati L'chokan, I prohibited it here, I prohibited it while you're urinating. Arai, meaning in a temporary bedroom, when you're urinating. So if so, it works out well. Yes. You can hold tefillin while you're defecating, but not while you're urinating. Why? Later. But right now, just what? Eloyam is Beis Shammai. If you're saying that it's only Beis Shammai, you say you cannot urinate with tefillin in hand. What do you mean what I permitted here, I prohibited here? Beis Shammai prohibit everything across the board. You cannot defecate or urinate with tefillin in hand. So it must be that if we're saying that there's something that's permitted in one place and prohibited in the other place, it means Beis Hillel say that it's permitted to defecate with tefillin in hand, but yet it's prohibited to urinate. So the Gemara says, no. Urinating is permitted just like defecating is permitted. Kitanya hi, when it says what I permitted here, I have prohibited there, le'inyin tefach u'tfokhaim. It's talking about a different halacha. The halacha of how much of your body you are allowed to expose when you are going to the bathroom. Tefach o tutfachim. Meaning as follows. The tanichad, we'll see here that yes, also when it comes to how much of your body do you expose. See, that also, we have to realize that when we're in the bathroom, it's not just free for all, right? You're supposed to keep exposure to a minimum. Now, with the reality of our toilets, you don't have all that much leeway, right? Yeah, but still, a person should keep in mind that don't just, you know, once you're taking it off, take it all the way off. Take it as much off as it needs to be. In earlier times, when the way it worked out was that you crouched down and lifted your robes, we're actually going to see that no, there were very specific limitations of how much you were supposed to expose. So here we see that there are things that are permitted in one place but prohibited somewhere else. How does that work? Kshunifne, when a person defecates, Megale le'acharov tefach. So he should expose from behind the tefach. When you lift it up a tefach, you're crouching, right? You don't want your clothing to be too close because you don't want it to get dirty. So you lift it up a tefach. That's how much you expose of your body. Ulefonov tefachayim. You can also lift it up in front of you to tefachim up. Even though you're defecating, and that's from the back. But whenever a person is defecating, he is liable to urinate as well. So therefore, whenever you defecate, you're permitted also to expose yourself from the front. V'tani idach. We have a different braisa that says otherwise. Le'acharov tefach. If you're defecating, you expose a tefach from the back. V'lefonav v'loy klum. But in front, nothing. So here we have something that's permitted in one place, prohibited somewhere else. How do we understand this? One braisa says that you expose two tefachim in the front, the other says nothing. My love, how are we to understand this? Idi be'ish. Both are talking about a man. V'loy kash. It's not a contradiction. Kan li gdoilim kan li ktanim. If you're defecating, don't expose anything from the front. If you are urinating, expose two tefachim from the front. Maybe that's how we should resolve this contradiction. So the Gemara says, no, that cannot be the answer to the question. The Tisbara, is that what you think? Ibiktanim, if we're saying that when you are urinating, you expose a tefach in the back and two tefachim in the front, lachrov tefach lamavi. Why should you need to expose anything in the back? A person who's urinating doesn't inevitably defecate. If anything, the other way around. The answer is no. Both are talking about defecating. If you're urinating, there's no question that you expose from the front. We're talking about defecation. And yes, one braisa said when you defecate, you can expose in the front two tefachim. The other braisa said when you defecate, don't expose anything. V'loy kasha. It's not a contradiction. Habeish, habeish. It depends if it's a man or a woman. A man, when he defecates, as we said, a person defecating is very liable to urinate as well. It's almost inevitable that happens. So therefore, when a man is defecating, he should expose himself from the front as well. When a woman is defecating, there's no need to expose herself from the front because nothing comes out of the front anyways. So that's the resolution to these braises. So yes, when we said what we prohibited, we permitted here, we prohibited there, it means what we permitted for a man. When a man defecates, he exposes two tefachim. We prohibit for a woman. When a woman defecates, she should not expose anything from the front, only from the back. It's got nothing to do with urinating as opposed to defecating. It's all defecating, it's man as opposed to woman. How much do you expose? But Rava does maintain that when it actually does come to the question of holding tefillin while you urinate, we do maintain that if you're allowed to hold tefillin while you defecate, you can certainly hold tefillin while you urinate. So the Gemara says, "Ihachi, 1 minute. That's how you're explaining away this braisa. Hadiktani Allah." But that braisa continues with a comment. It says, "What we permitted here, we prohibited there." Zel kavachomer she'ein olav tshuva. And even though it's paradoxical. We permit this, we prohibit that, even though Kavachoyma says otherwise. Again, we're not clarifying what we mean. But my anal of tshuva. Now, if the pshat in this braisa is that we permit for a man to expose, we prohibit for a woman, why does that conflict with the Kavachoyma? Meaning, you say, no, what do you mean? If it's permitted for a man, should Kavachoyma be permitted for a woman? That's not true. It makes perfect sense. Darke de milsa, hachiu. Darke de milsa, hachiisa. Makes perfect sense. If we're saying that we permit a man to expose two tefachim in front, but not a woman, why is that paradoxical? That makes perfect sense. That's how it works. Elo lav tefillin. Rather, it must be that it's talking about tefillin. And we are saying, what we permitted for defecation, we permit for urination. You're allowed to hold tefillin while you defecate, you're not allowed to hold tefillin while you urinate. Then we understand well the Bryce's comment and says, even though Kavachaymer would be the other way around, still, we're more machmir with urinating than defecating. So that is what the Bryce is saying. You're allowed to defecate while you hold tefillin, not urinate. The tiyuvta de rove omar av sheshes tiyuvta. And this is refutation of Rove. Here we see that, yes, according to Beis Hillel, who said you can defecate with tefillin in hand, you're not allowed to urinate. So we refuted Rove. Now we're just left with the paradox. How could that be? You can go into a fully established bathroom and defecate with tefillin in your hand. You're not allowed to just urinate with tefillin in your hand? Mikoma kankasha. So if so, yes, that is the pshat, but it's difficult. Hashta besakise kavua shari. If you're allowed to hold your tefillin in an established bathroom where you're defecating, besakise arai likol shekein. Kavachoyma, you should be allowed to urinate in a temporary spot holding your tefillin. So the Gemara answers, Hachikoma. You're right, that logically it makes sense that if you're allowed to defecate, you should be allowed to urinate too. But the answer is as follows. Beisakise kavua deleka nitzaitzis. You know what the problem is? The problem with urinating is that when you urinate standing up onto the hard floor, some of it is going to spritz onto your feet. Which you are inevitably going, you're going to instinctively wipe it off, right? And there's where we're concerned that you're going to use the hand holding the tefillin to wipe it off. So therefore, when you're defecating, there is nothing spritzing, right? It's very controlled, and therefore there's no such concern. So shari, therefore you're allowed to hold your tefillin while you're defecating. When you're a temporary bathroom, when you're urinating, standing up, and it's spritzing, asri, there it's asr. So you're right, it's paradoxical, but yet there's good reason for it. Defecating, there's no concern that you'll suddenly have to feel that you have to wipe your feet off. Yes, you'll have to wipe, but that's like not a surprise, it doesn't jump on you, you're not likely to drop your tefillin in order to suddenly wipe. But, so therefore, defecating is okay. urinating, whether it's going to be you're standing up, it's going to be spritzing onto your feet. There, we don't want you holding the tefillin.
Shul shul would be more like urinating.
What's that?
Shul shul would be more like urinating in terms of all that.
That's an interesting question. What happens if a person has a loose stomach? I don't know. I don't know. Makes sense. I don't know. So the Gemara says, "Ihochi amayin alav tshuva." So why did the Brisa say that this is the Kal v'Chomer that can't be answered? We just gave a great answer. Tshuva ma'al, you see. We just gave a very good reason. So the Gemara answers, "Hochi ka'ava." You're right. What I meant to say is as follows. Meaning, you have to approach this solely on the basis of reason. Based on reason, it makes perfect sense. Don't approach it from the usual perspective of making a kal v'chomer from one din to another. Of course defecation is more severe. If you can approach it from the halachic standpoint, it doesn't make sense. The atzil of b'teras kal v'chomer, if you're going to use the usual rules of kal v'chomer, well, if defecation is more severe and it's permitted, it's certainly permitted for urination, Zeo kal v'chomer shein olav tshuva. I won't be able to answer you. You're right, I won't be able to answer you. But since we're not coming from the halachic perspective, we're coming simply from the logical perspective that says that you're right, that defecation halachically is more severe, but there's simply an issue here of spritzing, which is only relevant for urination and not for defecation. We don't understand why urination has to be treated more severely. So that's why, yes, the halacha is that you can hold on to your tefillin in your hand when you go in to defecate, but you can't hold tefillin on your hand when you're urinating, even though it's more kal. But actually comes out, interesting, that the other way around. You can wear your tefillin on your head while you urinate, but not hold it in your hand. It's, in that sense also, it's paradoxical. But we don't do this either. The Rambam is machmir, not even to urinate, but the place can do say that the ikar adin, a person is allowed to urinate with tefillin on, and therefore bishas hadchak, it says, Mishnah Berurah says bishas hadchak, when a person is stuck, whatever it is, again, not so likely nowadays when we only wear it in shul, but me'ikar adin, essentially it is permitted to urinate with tefillin on, but not in your head. Okay, we'll stop there. So again, tomorrow we